Welcome back to Also Play Cycling Podcast. Today we'll do a Strade Bianche preview, one of the most exciting one-day races of the year. People say this might be a monument, but yeah, it's not yet a monument and probably won't be, as it's only 184 kilometers and under 5 hours usually.
And it's a really recent race. Like, it's only been around since 2007, so it doesn't have the history of the other monuments, which I think all of them are like over 100 years old.
Yeah, everyone is like every single race that's called a monument is super old with history. Also, Grand Tours are maybe except Vuelta a España is kind of younger, but it still like was even like before World War II even started. So, and Strade Bianche started even when we were born. So that's kind of young race. The Wout van Aert won't race, and Tadej Pogacar from Big Guns. Pogacar won't race because he is racing Paris-Nice, and he's the reigning champion. Won last year with a 40-kilometer solo, and Van Aert isn't racing because he said he felt bad in his training camp in Teide in Gran Canaria Islands. But last week he did like 30 hours on Strava. He uploaded.
I think he's probably just like decided it's not worth to go to Strade Bianche. He has won it already. It's not one of the big monuments. He's probably going to focus on the cobbles, Ronde and Paris-Roubaix, because he hasn't won either of them yet. Yeah. So he'll probably focus all out on that and decided that Strade might not be that important.
Because he already won like both Strade and Omloop had news blood last year. Yeah. So they are both like the first two World Tour one day races, which are in Europe. The only thing what is missing from his palmarès as a classics rider, is monuments. Like, let's say like more monument wins, because he won Milano Sanremo in 2020.
Yeah. But he's been like, since then, he's been like the top favorite for like six monuments. Like, even Liège-Bastogne-Liège, I think he was the top favorite last year.
Yeah, that might be a true. Like, even if he include world championships, which is like even more important than monuments. So yeah,
and he was also the top favorite for those a lot. Like, I think both times, 2021 and 2022.
And he hasn't even won like time trial world championships. And yeah, but okay, let's talk about Strade Bianche, who is competing. Mathieu van der Poel is huge favorite. His betting odds is is like 2-25. So his chance of winning is, according to bookmakers, around like 45%, or almost like 50%. Then there are two also big favorites, Julian Alaphilippe and Tobin Pidcock, who are both like at 7 and 8. So around like 12-15%. And then there's some Jumbo-Visma guys, Tiege Benoot and Attila Walter.
Valence is also
Valence. And maybe this is the reason, like, this is a bonus for Wout van Aert, that his domestics also like will get more chances to win races, because Jumbo Visma already won Kurne, Brussels, Kurne, and Omloop het Nieuwsblad.
and they're dominating. Kurne, Brussels, Kurne, you could also already see them like giving chances to the second tier riders. Like, Benoot and Van Hooijdonk were the leaders there, or were like racing for the win for them there. So it's clear they want to split up some of the responsibilities to lead the team through more races, so everyone is happy.
Some GC riders will try this race. Brendan McNulty, who was included after Pogacar, said he won't race Strade Bianche. So let's see how he performs, because there are like in 184 kilometers, like 60 kilometers of them is the gravel sections, and there are like 3,500 meters of climbing. So
okay, like, honestly, this is like the perfect race for McNulty. Yeah. If he was in the shape of last year, I would probably said he wins this race, because he was in crazy good shape last year in these kind of races. He won, I think, Fornadesh, was it?
Yeah, Fornadesh.
With some pretty good power. And I think also, if he's in good shape, he can do really well in these races. Hilly classics, where you need to build a lot of power for a long time, one day races. So yeah, if he's in good shape, he was kind of good on half feet as a domestique. He could be up there. And with Valence, they have a dangerous combo. And even Formolo was kind of good in the past in this race.
I saw Sandro Covi. So Yuri has sent a pretty stacked team. Like, they already like dominated in Jaén race in Spain, which is the gravel race ever, like Pogacar won, but Valens and Mark Hirschi finished also in like third and fourth place. Okay, Hirschi isn't here, but yeah, their squad is, let's say, pretty strong for this race. Then there's also from Trek Segafredo is Quinn Simmons, but he on Strava said he's 76 kilograms.
So 76, 86, sure.
76.
That Quinn Simmons?
Yeah, 76.
No way, he's that light, surely not.
Like he said on Strava, like he's only like 182 centimeters. Like 76 kilograms is still heavy for
cyclists.
And he said that on Strava, on his training ride, not on training ride, but after the race, which is Fondrome Classic, where he finished fifth, and it was like hilly one. So imagine if he dropped to 72 kilograms, which is like his listed weight on pro cycling stats. And also, if you look on his travel, like his diet is horrible. Like for a cyclist, he isn't eating healthy. And like if he would focus completely on cycling and on performance, he might be a really good classics rider, like one of the best.
He's clearly very, very talented, but we'll see what he makes of that.
Last year he finished 17th Strade Bianche, but he was chasing the group. I remember he said in an interview he wanted to win this race, and if he wouldn't spend his all energy,
He tried to follow attacks, and then in the end, like a larger peloton caught him, and when he was kind of cooked from chasing alone for a lot of the time.
Yeah, so he probably would have finished on podium maybe, but he cares about winning, which is a good thing. Then in 2021? Where he was also in the leading group, but then he had mechanical, and I think there were like even more mechanicals.
And then he crashed out.
And then crashed out, but he finished 54th. But still, he's a good rider, but only 21. Yeah, still quite young with a lot of potential. This is also his contract year. So if I'm like UAE Emirates, I would probably sign him because they need rulers, and he's like a perfect ruler for Tour de France. Yeah, probably can climb, sprint, can do everything. And what else? What he got? Attila Walter, Jumbo Visma.
Yeah, Jumbo Visma, Walter and Benoit. It's a decent pairing. I don't think they're that strong, but they could be up there in the top 10, both probably. I think Attila Walter finished fourth last year, but he was in the peloton compared to Simmons.
Yeah, I also see they have Milan Vader, who was a mountain biker.
He had a bad crash last year, which ruled him out for nearly the entire season
in Basque Country. He almost died, and then he recovered and started this season really good. 16th in Schwalbe Classic in the Criterium, then was in stood on under 8 in the stage, which was on like Bello Bilbao on course crew after, so he can also climb. So yeah, he should be good. Also on Alto de Foya, he was 35th. How much he lost? He lost 1 minute to the pit. Magnus Kort. Okay, maybe he was domestic. I didn't watch that race, but his shape seems good. Yeah. So Jumbo Visma looks also kind of strong.
Quickstep will also be interesting. Of course, have Alaphilippe, but they also have Van Saven under in the lineup, who's in really good shape, seemingly. Judging by Tour of Oman, where it was really good. So maybe he can survive a long time. Maybe he can even be used as a second leader to attack and make the others chase. So I'm interested to see how that pairing goes.
Yeah, they have Bagioli, also Kasper Pedersen, who won which Mallorca race?
It was the Figueira Champion Classic, the new
Portuguese race. But he finished 14th in Trofeo Calvia, so that's also why I remember him. It was a hilly race, and I was surprised because I thought he would be like a sprint leader, but he actually also can kind of get over hills and perform in hilly races. Yeah, one seven on. He was great in Tour of Oman, but I don't know if he's like how he is on gravel. I have no idea.
Yeah, because he's standing up a lot while riding and like swerving around, so it's probably not good for traction and gravel.
I see.
See
he
about that.
hasn't raced Strade, but he performs well in the Italian one day race. What else? Ineos, yeah, Thomas Pidcock. I want to
this
see
looks
how he
like
will perform.
This looks all in for Pidcock, maybe Sheffield, but I
Yeah,
think this is probably
Sheffield.
all in for Pidcock, this one. And he's one of the big favorites, obviously, second favorite. And
They
yeah, I mean, he's
also have, yeah.
performed well before here, so should be up there.
They also have Michal Kwiatkowski, who won this race twice. But
Yeah.
His early results doesn't seem to... he isn't that great, and he isn't that top shape, so probably yeah, it'll be everything for Pidcock and maybe Magnus Sheffield, Carlos Rodriguez, and Jonathan Narvaez might do something, because Narvaez, I remember him last year, he was in sixth, yeah, and Rodriguez also was great, but I think he had a mechanical or something like that, because he was at one point he was second behind Pogacar, and
yeah,
he had mechanical or
maybe,
something like
yeah.
that. Maybe who is your outsider who might surprise?
My outsider is, wait a second.
Yeah, need to find Alexander Vlasov, maybe. He's a
no,
puncher.
He could do well, but I don't think it's his kind of style of race. Like, it's a lot of up and down. I think he's more, if it's a bit longer climb, like 5 to 10 minutes, something like that, is probably perfect for him.
I will tell like multiple options. Who are my maybe
two.
Outsiders? Maybe Andreas Kron, because he performed in the Highland Classic both well in last year and this year, so he can ride on gravel and be good on hilly stages. Then maybe Rui Costa, who already was like great in the January February race in Mallorca. Which else?
Mine was Rota, Lorenzo Rota.
Oh yeah, also from
from
Intermarché.
Yeah, because he's in really good shape. He was seventh in Jaén, then eighth in Andalusia GC, seventh for Nadesh, fourth in La Guelia. Like, he's in really good shape. He's always good in these Italian classics. I think he might have been okay last year in... No, he didn't race. Oh, it's 13th in Strada last year. So he can do it as well. I think he might perform well. He's in really good shape. And the second guy I wanted to talk about is Oscar Onley.
Oh, yeah. The British super talent.
Yeah, he might be good. He was good on, well, how was it called? Malau in Algarve. So maybe he could do it well here as well. It depends how he copes with the gravel, probably. And a long distance. Or, it's not a long distance, but it's a really high intensity for the race.
Yeah, it's like super high in the normalized power for 4 hours and 40 minutes. Yeah, it's intense. Yeah. But yeah, like from Intermarché, there's also Rune Herregots, who finished second in like that Portuguese race, which was won by Casper Pedersen, yeah, Figueira. And he was sixth on Alto da Foya. I don't know how he races on gravel, but he might do okay if he can push his watts. Also, like Michael Gogol, who finished in 2021 edition, yeah, was in that famous group who had Bernal, Van Aert, Alaphilippe, Van der Poel, Pogacar, Pidcock, and Michael Gogol.
And in 2020, Gogol was good as well. I think he finished ninth in Strade Bianche that year.
Yeah.
And last year crashed out in a big crash. Let's see if he performs well this year. He's probably going to be more of a domestic role for Van der Poel, though, I assume. Like, he's probably, like, even if he's like up there, he's probably gonna be used to control instead of being a second option.
Then there's actually Simon Clark, because Jakob Fuglsang isn't racing, so he might be the leader of Israel's Premier Tech, and he finished 18th on Drone Classic, so he's in good shape. He was also second in Murcia one day race and third in Cadel Evans race and second in National Championships of Australia. And he has finished, I think, at least once in top 10 in Strade. So, yeah, also might be a good option from the non-favorites.
So yeah, I think overall you can say that there's like the three big favorites, but behind that it's really close. A lot of underrated riders who can do a lot of damage on this course, but yeah, not at the same status as Van der Poel, Alaphilippe, and Pitcock maybe.
Yeah, as I said at the beginning, Van der Poel is like huge favorite, and yeah, we both I think don't agree that he's like at
Yeah, I think he's.
45% chance to win, because isn't this his first road race
Yeah,
of the year
I
even?
have no idea how good he
Let's
is.
check. Yeah,
He
this
has
is
not
his
done anything.
first. Yeah.
Like, he usually comes out well last even after his back problems, but man, I have no idea what to expect in 2.5. That's, or 2.25 even as a favorite.
Yeah.
That's so short for this race where a lot can happen. I would go with Pidcock personally for this race instead of Van der Poel.
Yeah.
Because he's confirmed in good shape after what we saw in
Yeah.
Algarve, and he's like very unlikely to crash out as well,
Okay,
or like
from
make any
beginners
mistakes.
also, like Alaphilippe will be motivated because Lefebvre like said so bad things about him in the media that he didn't perform well in last year, because yeah, he crashed out hard in Liège, and also I think before Liège he also crashed in Strade Bianche, and he had a bad year, but he's still strong and he won the Phon Ardèche Classic, so he's in good shape. Alaphilippe, he won this race already in 2019
Yeah, against
against
Fuglsang.
Vogelsang, and then was destroyed by Van der Poel in
On, yeah.
2021, on the
Yeah, but
final
he's always
climb.
good here. He's always good here. So
So
I
if
think
you
you
pick,
have to expect him to be up here.
if you pick Pitcock, okay, I'll pick Alaphilippe.
Fair enough.
Anyway, from favorites, as you said, there are many like outside of the top three, many guys who might perform, like Matej Mohoric, we didn't even mention. Yeah, Bahrain Victorious.
I think Bilbao might be better for Bahrain Victorious. He's done well in this race before. I'm not sure if he was like top 10 or like close to top 10 in 2021, but Bilbao is kind of good in this race.
He
So I
was
expect he will probably.
fifth last year,
And I think
10th,
11th.
in
Yeah, okay.
2021, 10th.
So he's
So
good in this race. I think he's more of a leader than Mohoric.
Yeah, he performed exceptionally well in on Jebel Hafid, and he was already all like third in Santos Tour and under 14 in Valenciana, so he's in great shape. He's already like finished twice in Strade Bianche in top 10, so yeah, he might surprise. And his odds is, let's check, he's 23. Yeah, he's like in top 10 favorites. He's, let's check, fifth, sixth favorite, yeah, together with Walter and Simmons, yeah, same odds. So bookmakers also think he might do great. Yeah, it'll be interesting because also some younger guys are racing, Romain Grégoire, who is 126.
Yeah, and he's done well just now in Laguelia. I think
Yeah.
he finished in top 5 there.
It was raining. He's great descender, so maybe also technical on gravel. Yeah, Nance Peters also is riding. He won Laguelia the long solo. A lot of people says, yeah, like season starts with Omloop, but like season really starts maybe with Strade or with UAE Tour. Yeah,
UAE Tour best race.
yeah. Also, okay, let's say one day races start with Strade Bianche,
Yeah,
really.
fair enough. I can agree with that.